So we're getting close to finishing 2 Timothy. Last week, Paul did talk about desertion, but he also talked about, or some that deserted him, but also he talked about how he was moving the pieces around, so to speak. And the most important thing for Paul was the ministry. The most important thing for Paul was the gospel. The most important thing to Paul was the preaching of the gospel. And as we close, you see, he gives glory to God, and that's why I've entitled the sermon today, To God Be the Glory, or Glory Be to God, or however you want to put that. But Paul wanted to give God the glory. That should be a good place for us in our lives to use that as a banner as we live for him, to give God the glory. Because after all, that's why we are saved. We are saved not simply to get us to heaven, but we are saved to glorify God here in this world. Now, let's look at what Paul writes here today. First of all, he says that God will punish evil, and he talks about vengeance. Now, he says here, Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. This Alexander, a lot of scholars are all over the board on it, but why don't we just say it's the Alexander of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20. Alexander did the Apostle Paul some great harm. Kakos, it means to injure. The word harm here means to injure. But what I want us to understand here is this word means to injure. It can be physical, it can be emotional, it can mean a wide range. But the underpinnings of this word always has its root in evil. So when you think about it, when you try to hurt someone, it is at the essence, at the core, evil. We are told in the Bible that we are to build each other up, not tear each other down. We build each other up in Christ, and we build people up so that they can get stronger in the faith and follow Jesus. I remember, and I may have shared this before, and if I have, it's just a moment that I like to repeat. I had a man in a church on one Wednesday night. I was preaching or teaching through Solomon's writings, and at one point Solomon said, "Do not be excessively evil." I went on about the teaching that night. We got finished, and this person walked up to me, who I knew probably had a problem with me, at least at minimum did not like me, and this man was prominent in the church, and he walked up to me, and he got real close to me as I was on the, there was a little doorway there, and there was a table, and I was sitting there looking at the verse, and he said, "Pastor, you remember that verse that you read where Solomon says, do not be excessively wicked or evil?" And I said, "Yeah." And he looked at me and he said, "Well, how evil can I be with a little dig?" I took that as a direct attack. Now, it really means people are trying to assassinate your character. So whoever this Alexander the coppersmith was, the Apostle Paul said, he did me great harm. He had hindered either Paul's character or hindered his ability to preach the gospel. He had done something of some magnitude for the Apostle Paul to say, Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. He injured me. So the Apostle Paul, like any other man, is open to injury. The Apostle Paul felt the effects of that injury. But notice what Paul says in the next breath. He doesn't dwell on this. He doesn't focus the entire time on this. Notice what he says. The Lord will repay according to his deeds. Aponiomi, which means to repay or to reward somebody. So God will reward to Alexander the coppersmith that which is due him. And I think there's a point here for all of us as believers. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. And I know, let me just say this, I know that when you get hurt, and when somebody hurts you, I totally get this. The knee-jerk reaction is to try to get them back. And sometimes, at some point, times in my own life, when that has happened, I will play with it for a while, and I'll go, this is how I plan to get this person back. And I've got it all scoped out in my mind. There's a plan that I'm going to use and that I'm going to follow. And as I'm making the plan, God goes, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We're not about that. We don't play the way unbelievers play, and we don't play the way some Christians play. That when they get hurt, they'll come back and try to hurt somebody. Look, whatever this guy did to the Apostle Paul, whatever Alexander did to the Apostle Paul, it was effective, or Paul would not have written this. But he does not sit there and say, I am going to pay him back for what he did to me. And I understand, I get it. When you get hurt, whether it be at work, close friends, whatever hurt, the initial thought is, I want to get even. But rise above it. Rise above it. Don't sit there and plan things out and organize it and then start working and putting that plan into action. Do not do that, because what we have to realize is that when we do that, we are in essence saying that God will not honor what he said he will do, right? We are taking vengeance into our own hands rather than leaving it to God. And by the way, God will pay you back for what you have done. That's clear. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will be judged according to what we have done in the body, whether good or bad. They will be burned up if it was done for wrong motives, if it was done with the wrong intent, or if we did something and it possibly hurt somebody. I believe rewards will be lost. But at some point, God will reward us. And so what we have to do when in those moments when we get hurt and we want to lash out, you stop and you go, wait a minute. I'm a believer of Jesus. I am not going to respond in kind the way that they did me. If I could put it this way, be the bigger person. Take the high ground. We don't walk like the world. We shouldn't sound like the world. We shouldn't act like the world. We follow Jesus, and Jesus would tell us to turn the other cheek. Jesus would tell us to love your enemies and do good to them. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul did here. He didn't make plans. He didn't look for a way to attack. He said that God's going to take care of this. And have you met people that have done something wrong to you, and somewhere down the road you hear something that has happened to them? And let me say this, you should not gloat about that either. We should be more worried about our lives and pleasing Christ and glorifying the Father rather than celebrating somebody's misfortune, even though they had probably hurt you in return. There may be some of you here today that are actually struggling with that particular issue, and I hope you take my counsel on this and Paul's counsel probably more than mine, but you listen and don't act. Don't respond. Don't push back. It's not worth it, and that's not who we are as Christians. We love people, and we do not return evil for evil. We do not return tit for tat. We do not try to maliciously hurt people. We don't want to do that. We don't want to get into that game. Now, he gives him a warning after he talks about vengeance and that he's going to leave vengeance to God. He's not going to become part of that. I know he hurt me. But here's the thing. Notice what he says. Beware of him. Phulasso, beware. That means to guard closely. This is what the Greek word looks like, beware. Phulasso, it means to guard. I love the way the Apostle Paul writes, because this word is really a reference to being guarded in prison or in jail. And so the Apostle Paul says, Alexander the coppersmith, you need to watch him closely. You need to be on guard. You need to be aware of where he is, his activity, and basically, you need to stay away from him. Now, this is another thing the Apostle Paul tells us. We do not get even with them, but we are also not to hang around with them. Because if they've hurt others, they will hurt you again, or they will hurt somebody that you love. And the Apostle Paul is not saying you have to embrace these people. You just can't, you can't take action. You can't strike out against them. But that doesn't mean that you become a doormat and that you let them in your life. You do not need that. I like what Knut Larson said in his commentary. Paul exhibited balance, and that's what we're talking about. On one hand, he refused personal revenge or plots of retaliation. And Knut Larson goes on to say, and the one I gave you already, Romans 12:19, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, said the Lord. On the other hand, he rejected gullibility and stupidity and warned Timothy to be careful. So in other words, I'm not going to strike out at him, but at the same time, I do want you to be very careful around him. And that means if there's people in your life that are vindictive, and they have a pattern of this, or they gossip, or they do these other things maliciously to hurt people, you do not need to invite those people into your life. In fact, Paul would say very strongly here, and I know this is against the Apostle Paul, but I'm trying to put this in the everyday realm. When you go to work and you go to your places of socializing, that you be careful that you do not allow these people to influence you. Again, we rise above this. We do not participate the way the world does. I know sometimes we mess up, and we do, but that's not who we are. We're about loving people. We're about forgiving people. But at the same time, and my friend Knut Larson's right, you need to balance this. There are some people that you do not need in your life. And I'm telling you as your pastor, it's okay, particularly if you've got somebody that is constantly trying to hurt somebody, or it could be physically, it could be most of the time it's emotionally or spiritually trying to hurt people. You don't have to have them in your life. And the Apostle Paul told Timothy, watch out. Beware. He goes on here to say, for he strongly opposed the gospel. There's a new show out on CBS, which is called Living Biblically. I would encourage you not to watch it, because it really does make fun of you and it makes fun of this. And so when you make fun of Christians, you make fun of the Bible, you are in essence making fun of God. We should not be watching this. And this is probably, in some sense, what the Apostle Paul is talking about, because he said he opposed our message. Our message is salvation, the Bible, the Word of God. And so anything that comes against it, Paul says you got to be careful and watch it, Timothy. And a little context here to remind us that the Apostle Paul is getting ready to be martyred for the faith. So it's important to him. It is important to him. And he says, look, he opposed our message. Anybody that opposes the message, that despises the name of God, that despises Christ, you share with them the gospel, and brothers and sisters, after that, you got to allow the Holy Spirit to bring that person. But honestly, if Paul's saying this in that day, I can say it confidently today, you do not need certain people in your life. Love them, share the gospel, yes. But when they start making fun of Scripture, they are constantly undercutting anything that you do in the way of sharing the gospel, the Apostle Paul says, watch it. Now, having said that, God will protect you. He will protect me. Paul says here, at my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted. So the question is, what does Paul mean here? At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. Various interpretations. Some view this as the Acts 18, 16 to 31. I do not, because there's nothing in that portion of Scripture or surrounding that Scripture that says the Apostle Paul was abandoned on a large scale. So what I think was happening is the reference is to the current imprisonment. Now you can go read there. You can read Acts 28, 16, 31. 16 to 31, and you can read it for yourself, and you'll realize that there is no abandonment of the Apostle Paul. So what the Apostle Paul says here is, at my first defense, I believe he's talking about his current imprisonment, the current moment. And most scholars believe that this is a prima actio, much like a grand jury investigation, where they are investigating specific or broad charges, and which the judge will decide if it is possible that this person will be brought to trial. It was apparent that the Apostle Paul may have been talking about this when there was a grand jury-like, at least in the Latin, that's what that is, a grand jury-like, assembly, where they were assimilating possible charges against the Apostle Paul. These, at this point, maybe is what the Apostle Paul meant, at my first defense, they deserted. Now, scholars go on to believe, because this was probably written in March, remember we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, written in March, where it would have taken 8 months there and back, 6 months at minimum there and back. So, scholars have now conjectured, and I would probably agree with them, that there was a secunda actio, the judge not finding any, judge not finding anything investigates further. And at this point in the Roman judicial system, it takes quite a while. So the Apostle Paul probably wrote this as soon as he realized that this was going to continue on for a while. And another way of support for this is that when you were charged in the Roman system, the government wheels grinded slowly. So there would have been time for the Apostle Paul to get this letter, and then Timothy would have come, he would have made those arrangements, gone up to Troas like we talked about, and then picked up his cloak and then went along and made it to Rome. But here's the thing. At some point, at this first defense, the Apostle Paul was alone. Have you ever felt in your life when you were abandoned and you felt alone? probably all of us have at some point or another. Where's everybody gone? And probably the Apostle Paul, still human, in some sense, maybe looking out the window at all the people around, and yet he was alone. So I don't want to say that the Apostle Paul felt a certain way, but just being a man, I would understand the emotions of sadness. I would understand those emotions. Our Lord and Savior had emotions just like we did, in every way, in everything. He cried when people died. He wept with people. He rejoiced with people. So I'm assuming the Apostle Paul is a man and would experience some of those emotions. Lee and Griffin, perhaps weakness of character or fear led to the absence of patrons willing to risk loss for standing up for the Apostle Paul. Whatever happened, he doesn't tell us. He doesn't say. We already know that there's already been abandonment. Demas, having loved this world, has departed me. Luke was with him. But, you know, he was alone. Could have been easy for the Apostle Paul to say, that's messed up, or to focus on it. But then look at what Paul says. May it not be charged against them. Logizomai, charged. Logizomai. And that means to keep a record of something. Do you know what Paul was saying? What Paul was asking God to do was to not make a list of the names. May it not be listed against them. These were obviously friendly people to the Apostle Paul, unlike Alexander. These were friendly people. But Paul said, Lord, do not write their name. Do not bring a charge against them. Because of the way the Greek is worded here, I am led to believe that the Apostle Paul felt this very deeply. The English translators put the explanation point on the end to suggest that feeling. He was saying, Lord, please do not hold this against them. Even though it meant that the Apostle Paul was abandoned, they did not have friends around. I see in this the dose of forgiveness. He didn't want God to write it down. He said, Father, just forgive them. Put it behind them. Maybe he's thinking of Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Whatever that case may be, Paul did not want it held against him, and this language also suggests that the Apostle Paul had dropped the issue. Now, sometimes when we feel abandoned, and people abandon us, we need to take this. We need to take this seriously and just say, God, you know, I don't know what happened to Jim or Joanne or whoever it may be. I don't know why they felt the need to do this, why Sally left me, why Bill left me. But you know what, Lord? I don't know the circumstances. I know that they love me, and these were probably friendly people to the Apostle Paul. But for some weakness of character, they deserted me and they left me. We should ask God in those moments to forgive them. And we should not hold it against them, at least from what I'm reading from the Apostle Paul. And I'll say this too. I realize that is hard to do. Have you ever had a friend turn his or her back on you? And it hurt? That doesn't mean they're not your friends. That just means they have a weakness in that particular area. And again, the idea of vengeance should be gone. God will repay. But then, Paul turns to God's acts. What God does. This is where I want us to focus. Having stated the fact that Alexander the coppersmith had done me great harm, he had done harm to the gospel, but I'm not going to lash back at him. I'm just going to let God take care of it. In light of the fact that at my first offense, all abandoned me, that doesn't mean that the Apostle Paul was truly alone. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. I love that word stood. It means to be near. The Lord stood by me. He was near to me. Even though everybody else had left, it looked like the situation was going from bad to worse, but God stood by me. Now, I want you to hear this as your pastor today. I want you to hear this, and I want you to know this with all certainty, that when you are alone and you are broken and you are battered and you feel beat down and you feel helpless and hopeless, I want you to burn this in. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. You are never, ever out of sight of God. I don't care what comes against you. He is with you all the way. And I know at times you want to see a person or flesh, but I am telling you, if you will draw near to God, He will draw near to you, make His presence known to you. He will strengthen you and uplift you and hold you when you cannot be held by anybody else. In the depths and the darkness and the despair, in the moment, God is in your presence. I want you to know that. Because there is great strength in knowing that. And whenever you are broken and beaten, go to Psalm 34:18. When God sees His children hurting, He is there. He strengthens me. In Denano, He gives you, not only is He near, but He gives you the ability, I'm going to read you exactly what the Greek translation is, gives you the ability to endure a situation. This sounds vaguely familiar. And it should be familiar. And when I throw this verse up, you're going to know exactly what the verse is. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I have heard people tell me, life stories. And I think, how did you ever get through it? And they told me, when I was hurting, God came near and sustained me through the storm. You in a bad spot today? Are you hurting today? I got some good news here. Allow God to love you. If you take nothing else from this sermon, I want you to take this. That God is near the hurting, and He will support you and give you the strength to make it through the storms in life. Paul, I wish I could be like him. I'm not. Wow. So that through me, the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. This is what mattered to the Apostle Paul. Do you see this? Numerous times in here, Paul's getting ready to be executed. And the only thing he cares about is glorifying God, and he cares about the gospel. Let them do whatever they want to me. They can lock me up, but Lord, I want to be able to share the gospel. Yeah. That's how it's supposed to look. We get a hangnail and we want to quit times. And the Apostle Paul here says, whatever's happened to me, whatever's gone on against me, Father, I'm going to let you take care of Alexander the goldsmith. I don't want you to charge my friends who deserted me. I don't care what these captors of mine do to me. I don't care what trials I have to go. Lord, the only thing, or go through, the only thing that I really care about is if people hear about Jesus. Oh, Paul has a lot of confidence in God and Christ. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. This was not Nero. Not my understanding. Nero was rough. He was a bad guy. He could not stand Christians. You could say he was like the lion, but do you know who the lion is? The lion is roaming, seeking whom he may devour. The lion is Satan. Listen, this is good news. No matter what comes against you, Satan cannot beat you. He cannot win. God will deliver us from the mouth of the lion in our darkest, deepest moments. I believe that with every fiber of my being. God will deliver us. Satan has no authority over the child of God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. We win. Paul said, I know no matter what comes against me, God will deliver me at his time and at his command. We will be victorious. Cling to that. Hold to that. Because that's what we have in this life. We have the truth that God will protect us. Paul says, so I was rescued from the lion's mouth. Not only that, the Lord Jesus will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into His heavenly kingdom. We struggle. We stumble. We hurt. We have pain. But there is coming a day, brothers and sisters, when you will go from this life in to the arms of Jesus.